Hello and welcome back to Talking Talmud. I'm one of your hosts, Ardana Osband, here with my friend Chavruta and Gordon. Our daf today, Masech Bav Metzia, daf Tzadi Gimel, page 63. I'm going to start with a line right on the bottom of Tzadi Bet, where there's a whole discussion here between Rava and Abaye. And Rava comes and says the following. Ella Amar Rava. Rava says, Ki Shich Vina Rabbi Oshia Nafak. When I will die, Rav Oshia will come out and greet me, is basically what he's saying. Because I interpreted our Mishnah in according with his brightout. So I just want to do a little bit who's who here. Rav Oshia was basically a first generation Amora. And with Rabbi Chia, they edited the brightout. Now, what's interesting about this is that, you know, we talk about different types of Tannaitic literature, right? That there being like Midrash, Mishnah, Tosefta, Braita, and that we say that Yehuda HaNasi redacted or sort of edited the Mishnah, and that's Tannaitic literature, and he's the last of the Tannaim, or the last generation of the Tannaim. Whereas here we have Rava talking about Braitot, which we know are written by Tannaim, but yet they're edited by Amoraim. So that's, you know, just something to keep a little bit in the back of your head as you read this, you know, the sort of like, you're sort of seeing the overlapping here of sort of Tannaitic to Amoraic generations and the literature that comes out of there, that even though we say traditionally a Braisa is Tannaic literature, you know, we understand that some of the Amoraim had something to do with how it was edited. And so even here more, it says Detani Rabbi Oshia, right? Rabbi Oshia taught in a, taught in a Braisa. And so what's the Braisa that he taught? Hareshaya noseb chave romana, right? Here we have a case where someone's claiming a debt of a mana from somebody else. Alakha mat agrono. And so the creditor goes to the debtor's threshing floor, va'amar, and he says to him, Tainli ma'uti sha'ani ratzeli kach bahen chitin. So he says, give me my money. In other words, give me my mana, because I want to buy wheat with it. Va'amar lo, and the debtor says to him, chitin yesh li sha'ani no tain la. So he says, I have wheat, and I'll give you the wheat instead of the money. Seva asana la kishar shel achshav. So go and convert the money that I owe you, right, basically to a debt on the wheat at the current price. So the creditor agrees to this. He gives man chitin limkor, but then the tie comes to actually sell the wheat. And amar lo, tain li chitin. And so the creditor says, debtor, okay, now I want my wheat. Shani rotzel lemachram v'likach mahen yayin, because what do I want to do? I will, you know, I want to actually, I want to sell the wheat and I want to buy wine. Amar lo, the debtor says to him, Yesh li yayin shani no tain lach. I have wine that I will give you. Tseva sana la kishar al achshav. Right? Convert the wheat that I owe you into basically a debt of wine on me at the current price of wheat and wine. So creditor accepts this, right? He gives man yayin limkor. The time comes to sell the wine, but amar lo tain li yayni. So the creditor says to the debtor, give me wine. Shani ratze lemachor v'likach bo shemen, because I wish to sell it and buy oil with the proceeds. Amar lo, the debtor says to him, Shemen yesh li sha'ani no tain lach. I have oil that I can give you. Save asu alai kishar shel achshav. So again, the same idea, right? Go and convert the wine, you know, that I, you know, into a debt of oil at the current price of wine and oil. Kulam im yesh lo mutar. In all of these instances, this type of transaction, if the debtor actually has it, kulam im yeshlo, right? He has to have the actual goods, either the wheat, wine, or oil. Then this type of transaction is permitted. The debtor is allowed to convert the debt he owes to specific goods. Ein lo astor. But if he does not have those goods, right, and he's just promising that he'll give them to him, then in that case, it actually is forbidden, because you can't actually say that the sale sort of could actually take place at the time of the agreement. And therefore, if the price of the goods were to rise at the time of the delivery, that extra value that the creditor gets is actually interest. So this price that the Rabbi Oshia teaches us allows this forward type of contract paid for a debt only when the seller, meaning the debtor, has the actual item in his possession. And Rava basically wants to say, our Mishnah prohibits the transaction when the debtor has no wine. That's why, because Rava is saying this agrees with this particular brisa, and our Mishnah must be talking about a case where there isn't actually wine. Rava goes on and says, Umayla kach lakach behalvato. And what's the meaning when the Mishnah says someone bought wheat from a seller? It means he bought it for the debt that was owed to him, right? So the Mishnah is speaking of a case where he didn't even pay for the original order of wheat with cash, but rather he bought it with a debt that was owed to him. So I really just wanted to read this piece because I thought it was interesting about this thing about Rabbi Yoshia and the writing of the of Breitot, and just to see sort of like the overlapping here, you know, that we see between the Amoraim and the Tanaim. Finally, Rava, from this Braisa, he says, you know, Amarava Shmamina me de Raboshiatlat, right? I can learn three things from this Braisa of Rabbi Yoshia. Shmamina de Mamnini Milava Alge Peyrod. You learn that this Braisa, that somebody can convert a loan of money into a debt for produce. And we don't say, like Rabba said, Rabba quoted a brisa on yesterday's tab, that it's not like a case where his Iser coin comes into his hand, meaning there's that was how in Rabba's brisa, how he described the difference between a forward contract, right, that was accepted instead of a loan payment. And secondly, you learn from this brisa that the conversion is only permitted when the debtor actually has the produce in his stock. Ushma mina ita lida Rabbi Yanai. Okay, and so you can also learn the third thing from Rabbi Yanai, right? Which is what? The Amar Rabbi Yanai, mali hein mali demehen. What difference is there between delivering the goods themselves or giving their value as a substitute? In other words, when it comes to these types of forward contracts, right, either the seller has the actual good in stock, or there's a price that everybody knows about that establishes the goods in the market, and that's why the buyer is allowed to accept can accept these goods because we don't have to worry about interest. So again, I wanted to do this for the kind of little bit historical piece here, but again, this is also getting into things we're allowed to do or not. We can do or not do. Because of concerns about how, you know, how it actually can be interest.
The one thing I would just add about Rav Hoshaya is that we saw his list of vote of Nezikin, right? When we started Baba Kama, we had the four avot Nezikin, you know, that are the way the Mishnah begins. And then we had two other possible lists. One was maybe Rav Chia, Rav Chista, and one was Rav Hoshaya, where he added on like another 14 things. So there he's doing exactly what you're talking about, Yordina, in terms of forging Breitot that are in parallel, but, you know, still in terms of content, you know, overlapping, but different with the Mishnah.
Oh, yeah, I think that was a great thing to bring up, and I'm sorry I didn't think of that as well. Yeah, so you see sort of the editing that he does.
Right. Okay, I'm going to turn to Amud Bet. Really, midway through Amud Bet, we have Rabin, Rav Yosef, and for those of you who are covering all of the daf, you'll see, and throughout this Masachet, I think, Rabin and Rav Yosef keep being like a pair in addressing these Bav Metzia issues. Rabbi Rav Yosef, Damar Travayo, they say together, Hai man diyahi zuze atra charifa tzarich le'itchaz zuye levei dare. So what's the case? If somebody gives money in advance of purchasing the produce, meaning they're going to get the advance price in the marketplace, which means there's a set sum determined shortly after the harvest, but it's before the marketplace price itself is really set, right? So now you've given the money, you're getting the advance price, and now you have to go present yourself, you know, to say, like, here I am. At the time that the seller is, for example, threshing the produce, right? That's the idea that he will show up beidare. He's going to show up at the granary for the sake of, I guess it demonstrates good faith or, you know, commitment to coming in at that early price. Lamai, the Gemara says, why does he have to be there? Right? Meaning, let's not make suppositions that I'm doing in the air here. Let's see what the Gemara actually says. Ila mikna halokani. Ila kabule alai mishapara. Kilo mitchazinami makabel alai mishapara. If you're saying that he's going to acquire the produce at that time, he doesn't acquire it by being there, right? Like just being physically present at the time that they're threshing is not going to get him the produce. He has to actually, you know, pick it up or pull it or whatever he's going to do for his act of kinyan. If you want to say that this is where the seller accepts upon himself, right, that he's accepting upon himself that the transaction is going to be good to the extent that if he would renege, then he will get that curse of Misha Parat, right? The same way that God exacted payment from the generation of the flood and so on, right? Well, you don't need to say that here either, because if the buyer doesn't present himself, right, later at the time, you know, to fulfill the transaction, then the seller would also get the Misha Para, right? Meaning the curse is an effect on whomever reneges on a deal after the money has already been paid. So to say that he has to show up at this time in order to bring that into, like, it's a good standing, doesn't make sense either. So the Gemara explains, Le'olam l'kabule alay Misha Para. Really, he's going to the granary there for the seller to accept upon himself that Misha Para curse, right? Again, the God who exacts payment. On what he's committing to the fact that if he reneges, then God will punish. Namely, one who gives money in advance, at the advance price, so that he could go to two trei klata yahiv. He can bring it to two or three different sellers. But once he presents himself to the seller, right, where the guy is actually threshing the produce, that demonstrates his commitment that this is the one he's going to buy from. But if he doesn't present himself to that seller, then the seller can say to him, oh, I figured you found better elsewhere, right? And that you took someone else's produce so that there's no mishapara at all, right? The seller doesn't know if the buyer is going to go through with it. So he can change it and sell it to somebody else. So the idea that the buyer shows up where the seller is preparing or threshing the produce becomes a sign of their mutual commitment. Now that we've said that this is because of the seller relying on the buyer, then you could say that he doesn't even have to go to the granary, really. You just have to establish it in the marketplace, right? The buyer could come to the seller in the marketplace and say, I'm not backing out. And then the seller, excuse me, and then the seller can, like, knows that he can rely on the buyer to do the buying. And if either of them would renege, they'd end up with the Misha Para. Anyway, the idea of the advance price allows the buyer and the seller to commit to each other in advance of the produce even hitting the market. And I feel like this is very, it feels very, I don't know, like very, like the trading floor, you know, like this is much more, I don't know, it's not just going to the store and buying your little food, right? Like there's speculation here. What happens if something fails along the way, but he's already committed to the price? Like there's a lot of jockeying for the right to be there, it seems to me. And that is actually the right that they're looking for.
That's our DAF discussion for the day. Rank us, review us on all major podcasts. Thank you to Rabbi Michelle Farber for hosting us on the Hadron website. Let us know what you thought about this DAF on our Talking Time on Facebook page. And until tomorrow, go and learn.